Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Beaver Dam. I am your host, James Hudson, joined alongside my good buddy, Floyd Krajovic. Floyd, how are you doing on this fine Friday evening?
You know, another week of classes down, so it feels good.
Absolutely. We are one step closer to our spring break. You know, that'll be coming up next weekend. And I'm looking forward to that nice spring break. What about you, Floyd?
Yeah, get a week off from classes. I'll possibly have to do maybe one project, maybe a paper.
It won't be too bad. Well, we have a tremendous lineup tonight of World of Sports. To start us off, Floyd, we have the owner of the Patriots, Robert Kraft, getting in legal trouble in Jupiter, Florida. And Floyd, how much about that do you know? Can you tell everybody a little bit about what's going on?
So I did look at the article again before coming here, and he is being accused of
prostitution.
There was another word before it, but yeah, soliciting.
Yeah.
Prostitution at a massage parlor in Florida.
Yeah, in Jupiter, Florida.
And it's like, how dumb can you be? Yeah. Your organization has already been thrown so much shade since the Brady Belichick era.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
And you have just added something that has been caught on video twice.
Yeah. Yeah, and ESPN says that if he is charged, he is punishable with up to 60 days in jail, 6 months of probation, and $500 worth of fines. And that's just according to Florida state law. And then, of course, they can get a lot more trouble with the NFL. You know, earlier in the Brady Belichick era, you had the Deflategate, where Tom Brady got
Spygate suspended.
And yeah, Spygate, and there was a lot of stuff going on. And so, he can definitely get in a lot more trouble with the league as well.
I mean, why? Just, there's no reason to be doing this.
Yeah, it seems a little odd that he would be doing this, and it definitely brings a lot more attention to the Patriots, and I guess we will just have to wait and see how that turns out. I think it'll be kind of insane.
Yeah, I'm wondering how the fans of the Patriots are going to react. I wonder if they're going to call for his head. You know, it's going to be something to keep your eye on to see how the fans react, because you know, it's just going to be interesting because the fans have a powerful force.
Absolutely. And we also have Zion Williamson coming out of the Duke, North Carolina, game with a knee sprain when he blew out his shoe. And Floyd, I'm not sure if you saw the play
or
not.
Yeah, I've
seen it. But he goes to kind of do a little spin dribble and rips right through the side of his shoe and sprains his knee. He was wearing Paul George's, and Paul George was really upset with Nike about the whole ordeal, wondering what was wrong. And now there's been a lot of talk about how Zion should have been in the league, you know, and stuff like that. And it's just brought up a lot of controversy.
Yeah, I've seen an article where now the NCAA is considering, or NBA, I forget which one it was, but they're considering lowering the draft age from 19 to 18. I mean, I don't know what Nike's problem is, because that just shows that, hey, we might be the most expensive shoe here, but we obviously can't make a good shoe.
Yeah, I mean, he ripped right out of it just doing a basic basketball maneuver, and it's definitely insane. And I think it was, if he wouldn't have gotten hurt, it would have just been comical, but the fact that he sprained his knee is a little, you know, saddening. But what do you think about the whole age limit, Floyd? Do you think it should be 18?
I feel that it should depend on how good the person is. I feel Zion is as good as LeBron James' level when he's coming out of high school, to where Zion should have just been allowed to go to the NBA. This dude's a monster. He's a beast. But I do like the fact they require him at least to do a year, because it gives him just that experience in college. You know what I'm saying?
See, the only thing I have an issue with is I just... And I guess it mainly for me is the NFL, because, you know, they say NFL careers aren't going to last. You know, the NFL, they say NFL stands for not for long and stuff like that.
I never heard that before.
You've never heard that one before?
No, I've never heard that one.
I guess my thing is if a player is going to take their time to the college, then I think they should give at least 3 years to that college. You know, they made their commitment to go to that college and to play basketball or football or golf or rugby now, or something at that college. And I think that they should have to – they should be forced to participate in that sport for at least 3 years. And I know injuries are a huge thing, but that's just something you're going to take a risk on. I mean, you take a risk – you take an injury risk going out and driving your car. Driving your car is one of the most dangerous things we do as people. And – I mean, I just don't see how – I mean, nobody's making a big deal about, oh, he shouldn't be allowed to drive because it could hurt his NBA career, you know.
Now, it's more or less that football speaking from experience, it's a very violent sport. Your career will last significantly shorter than any other one. But understand that the selling point for a lot of, like, Duke, Kentucky, Virginia, like, all these schools, the big-name schools that are always getting these, like, high-valued freshmen, their pitch is, give me 1 year and your kid will be ready for the NBA. That is their pitch.
Well, then they just need to find a new pitch and roll with that one, because I just think it's sad that these guys are going into colleges and, you know, coming out of them. You know, let's say Zion goes into the NBA right after this first year, right, which he will more than likely do.
He's going to.
He goes into the NBA, right? Rookie season, tears ACL. He's never going to be the same player he was.
Right.
He doesn't have a college degree to fall back on once NBA's over. And, I mean, he only played, let's say he finishes that year and he's done because of the ACL. He just, you know, he just wasn't the same and he didn't want to do it. Then he has nothing, you know. He's just an average guy. I mean, yeah, he made a good amount of money in the NBA that 1 year, but he can't live off that the rest of his life. I just think it's, you know, we're allowing these guys to go to college for 1 year and then leave. And I just think that's a little upsetting, you know, that they're allowed to do that. You know, they're allowed to commit their time to that school and then just leave after 1 year.
I mean, if they had their way, they wouldn't even go to college. They would just go straight out of high school. And that's what this whole Zion Williamson is raising, is that they should be allowed to just leave for high school because of stuff like this. But I feel like the thing with Zion should be going back towards the manufacturer.
Yeah,
because you don't know how many more shoes from that batch are bad. And it's like when you have an isolated incident like this, it's not an isolated incident because you don't know what happened to the rest of the batch. Because if one shoe does that, who knows what another one could do?
That's true.
And I've heard that Zion could press charges against Nike for having this footwear. And I haven't seen anything on, like, Paul George's comments on this, but I hope he's getting in their faces about that faulty product, because he has, that's his name on that shoe.
Yeah.
And I'd be very, very upset, and I'd be demanding answers.
Absolutely. Well, Floyd, we also have Ohio State basketball, Ohio State Buckeyes. Like we've talked about the last few weeks, they've been on an up-and-down spiral of a season, starting out good, going into a mid-season crisis with about 5 straight losses, and then they're starting to find their rhythm again, but they've lost 2 out of the 3 last games. They lost a close one to Illinois, 63-56, and then they also lost to number 11-ranked Michigan State, 62-44, and on Wednesday night, they beat Northwestern at home, 63-49. The Buckeyes have, looks to be, 5 more games left, taking on Maryland, Iowa, Purdue, Northwestern once again, and Wisconsin. So the Buckeyes, I'm not sure what chance they really have anymore to make the March Madness.
They are projected to be a 9 seed.
They are so they are projected to play March Madness. Okay.
Like if it was to end, they are projected to be in March Madness.
Okay. Well, I mean, if we look at who they're playing, all right? They have not played Wisconsin yet. And Wisconsin's ranked 22nd. Ohio State, I don't think, is ranked at all.
Wait, how do they only play Wisconsin? Why are they only playing Wisconsin once?
I'm not sure. This is the full schedule right here, because that ends at March 10th, and I don't see Wisconsin up there unless their game got canceled or something like that. But anyway, they're scheduled to play Maryland, who they lost to earlier in the season, Iowa, who they lost to earlier in the season. They just beat Northwestern, who they play again. They lost to Purdue earlier in the season as well. So, I mean, if they can't come back out of those last three, that's three out of the five final losses. I mean, they might still make March Madness, but that's definitely going to hurt their seeding.
Yeah, like, their seeding isn't good as it is right now. I'm pretty sure they were projected to be, like, a mid-tier seed.
Yeah.
But at worst, they'll be probably bumped down to maybe a 12 seed, maybe 14.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's Ohio State. But we also talked about last week, and I'm still highly impressed with this team. The Toledo Rockets basketball team has been on fire this season, going 20-6. They were 20-4 last time we talked about them, but they've lost two straight. They lost their last one to number 25 ranked Buffalo in a close one, 88-82, excuse me. And they also lost to Eastern Michigan 76-69, both close games. They also have 5 games left on their schedule. And it would be cool if they would make the March Madness tournament. I mean, sitting at 20-6.
Yeah, I honestly forgot to look and see where they were projected to be seated.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm pretty sure they should be on there. I mean,
if Ohio State's sitting at 17-9 and they're going to be on there, I would not see how Toledo at 20-6 would not be.
I think they're like a higher tier seed than Ohio State, but I wouldn't say by much. I think they're maybe an 8 or 7 seed. Yeah. But
they have 5 games left.
That's
as
just
well.
Being really grateful or graceful. Great. I don't know how to. I don't even know what I'm trying to say right there. generous.
Yeah.
Towards them, because they don't really have that impressive of a schedule.
Yeah.
And I feel like whoever they play in the first round, if they have like a tougher schedule, I feel like Toledo's going to have to come out and play the best basketball of their lives to make it out of the first round.
They've only played one ranked team all season. Both times it has been Buffalo. Earlier in the season, they lost to them 110-80, but then they came back two games ago and only lost by 4 points. So, you know, as the season's gone on, it looks like they have gotten quite a bit better. You know, at least being able to stand up to a ranked component. So
I didn't know Bluffton was ranked 25th in the nation.
I'm sorry. The Toledo. Buffalo, sorry.
Still Bluffton, can't Buffalo. Say it.
Same thing, basically.
We're not ranked 25th. Yeah, we're not D1.
That would be cool. All right, Floyd, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we are going to have more sports, and we're going to recap the playoff game for the women's basketball team. You're listening to the Beaver Dam here on 96.1 The Wit.
You're listening to the Beaver Dam on 96.1 The Wit.
And we are back here to the Beaver Dam 96.1 The Wit. James Hudson joined along with Floyd Krajovic. Floyd, we've been talking sports. And right now, we're going to jump into our next segment. We've covered this the past couple of weeks, and finally, we have some news. Manny Machado signs a 10-year, $300 million contract with the Padres.
Why the Padres?
Why the Padres? I'm not sure.
Yeah, why the Padres? Well, besides the fact that he got the contract he wanted.
I mean, that is
true. how are the Padres, a low market team who don't make that much money, going to do anything with Machado?
You know, it just seems silly that Machado would sign with the Padres. They don't really have any other big name stars. They haven't really been a good competitor in the league for a couple years. And it just seems silly, you know. I mean, not to be biased because I'm a Reds fan, but I really thought he was going to sign with the Reds after the Reds were getting these big-name guys like Puig and, you know, a couple more infielders. And I just think – I really thought he was going to sign with him or with them. But, you know, the other name out there right now is
Bryce Harper.
Bryce Harper. I mean, now that the Machado is off the market, do the Reds go hard after Bryce Harper?
I mean, they've been trying to go hard after both of them. But here's my thing. I think this proves to you that baseball players don't care if they for a World Series.
They just want money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because this guy isn't, like, and I read an article on this. What the Padres have done is signed him for his prime.
Yeah.
Like, once his contract is up, he's technically declining.
Mm-hmm.
And what are the Padres going to do? Like, they're not they're a team that never makes a splash. They're a team that's kind of has a really bad like team in general. They're a small market team, and that's like one of the big things about them is that they're not like one of those bigger named.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. they don't bring in the revenue like the Red Sox, the Yankees, the Astros. Like, it just confuses me why you would rather just sign with a team that isn't, like, playoff bound
it does for seem money. Really silly, yeah.
And just, like, I think that's what's wrong with the MLB off season. It's not the fact that owners won't give them the money. It's the fact that the people that want them want enough room to maneuver to do other things.
That is very true, and I really did not see him signing with the Padres. You know, we had been talking about this for a couple weeks now. And I just really did not think it was going to happen. And then I heard that. I got the ESPN notification on my phone, and I was just surprised.
Yeah, I feel like the thing that's broken and the thing that they refuse to acknowledge is, yeah, he might be a great baseball player, and he deserves that type of contract. But teams need room to maneuver. Teams need room to spend money. Yeah. You can't have all that money chopped up into one player for 10 years. And that's what's broken about their thing is these players would rather have money than a ring or whatever you get for getting a World Series.
That is very true, Floyd. And with Machado being off the market, the other big name guy on the market is, like we said, Bryce Harper. So look out in the news for teams going after Harper.
Well, the only teams that I remember going after him were the Reds and the White Sox. I forget who the other ones were. I think the Dodgers, maybe.
It was a couple others, yeah.
But this one should be, like, less of a surprise because all the teams that have been chasing him are known.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is very true. To our next topic here, Floyd. The World Golf Championship, Mexico Championship, is going on right now. Dustin Johnson has taken over the lead at 11 under. Matt Kuchar is also up there with 10 under, falling close behind. Rory McIlroy, who is your early leader, has dropped 2 strokes today and is in third place at 9 under. Tommy Fleetwood has rose 15 spots, going 7 under for the day, and he is sitting in the fourth spot at 8 under. Also, to round out your top five, Sergio Garcia, 7 under. Also out there, big names is Tiger Woods. He has rose up 18 spots, going 5 under for the day, and he is sitting tied for 7th.
Oh, man, Tiger sucks. He's only in 7th? Come on, man. You should be leading by like 20 strokes by now.
Also out there, Ricky Fowler, he has not had a very good day. 2 over for the day, tied for 39th. Ow. And I'm not sure what the cut line's going to be. It looks like it might be even or maybe even one under. So Rory is going to have some issues unless, let me see. I'm not sure if he finished today or not. I think he did finish already today. Yes, he did. So unless the cut is dropped, I think he will not make the cut for this tournament. Jordan Spieth, 2 over for today as well. But he's actually risen up 2 spots. 12 spots, excuse me. He did not have a very good day. Excuse me. I guess today is the first day of the tournament. Today is the second day. I'm confused. Sorry. I'm out of there right now. Anyway, but Jordan is 2 over for the day as well. And now on to the story of the evening. Bluffton University women's basketball team lost a hard-fought battle against the Hanover Panthers by the score of 64-59 on Thursday. The loss ended Bluffton's season as the Beavers finished 9-17 overall and 7-11 in the HCAC. The number 3 seed Hanover women advanced to play the number 2 seed Rose Holman Friday night in Transylvania. The first quarter was a high-scoring battle as both teams were getting things done on the offensive side of the floor. At the end of round one, Hanover led Bluffton by the score of 22-18. Freshman Brianna Gillig had it going as she put up 8 first-quarter points on 4 of 5 shooting from the floor. After going down 28-20 early in the second quarter, Bluffton responded with a 7-0 run capped off by Kylie Brock, with a 3-pointer with 7:07 remaining in the period. The Beavers would continue to play solid on both ends, getting stops and scoring in spurts, and headed into the halftime break leading 37-34. Bluffton forced Hanover into shooting just 5 of 15 from the floor in the second period, while Bluffton was a red-hot 9 of 16 on field goals. In the third stanza, the scoring slowed down on both ends. Bluffton was clinging to its lead until Alexis Nail layup with 1:42 remaining to put the home team up 46-45. That would be the score at the end of the third round. Bluffton never led in the final period, but the Beavers certainly didn't go down without a fight. A pair of Brianna Gillig freebies with 3:50 left to play made it a 2-point game, 55-53, but Hanover finished it off with a 9-6 advantage the rest of the way to secure a 64-59 victory. I know a lot of people were in bobs watching the game on the projector right in front of Freshens there, and they were excited, and I heard it was a really, really good game.
I mean, they fought as hard as they could. I mean, it's upsetting to see them get knocked out already. They played their hearts out, and they've played some of their best basketball all season when it really mattered, and that was in the tournament. Unfortunately, it just wasn't enough to get into the next round.
Absolutely. You know, the first half of the season for the women was a little rough, you know, coming out with a start, losing 3 of their best players that Bluffton might ever see, and, you know, coming out and trying to mix these freshmen with these juniors and sophomores and, you know, the senior on the squad, and it was definitely a big thing for Coach. But I think he did a great job, and they really finished the second half of the year strong. And of course, we are all disappointed to see the women's team get knocked out of the tournament, but they have nothing to hold their heads down for because they played a heck of a season of basketball.
Yeah, they played their hearts out. I mean, there's nothing to be disappointed about. I mean, would you have loved to have got a couple more wins? Yeah, but all in all, you've shown the potential of this team, especially in this last game.
Absolutely.
Nearly knocking off the 3 seed is phenomenal work.
Yeah, absolutely. Scoring leader for the Beavers was Brianna Gillig with 22 points. We had 2 players tied, number 20 Emma Saltzman and number 40 LJ Olverson, for 10 rebounds. Also out there for 9 assists was TJ Mills, and that was your points, rebounds, and assists for the Beavers. The Beavers shot 27 of 62 shooting, with 30 rebounds, And it looked like it was a pretty evenly matched game for both teams. Both teams bench played very, very good games. Bluffton was red hot in the paint, 34 points inside of the paint. And both teams were very evenly matched. It just sounds like the only issue was is, you know, they just, I don't know how to put it.
They hit a wall.
Yeah, they hit a wall there in the fourth quarter, you know, in the third quarter. But they played a great game, and they played a great season, and they have nothing to be ashamed of, and they should definitely keep their heads high.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely want to improve on, but they showed a lot of promise.
Absolutely.
And it's just they're going to have a better season next year, and I can't wait to see what the women's team brings to the table next year, especially after having all these freshmen
getting
and
a lot
juniors
of playing time.
And sophomores be together for a full season now.
Yeah. Do you have anything else to add, Floyd?
I am still the better of the two.
All right, we'll go with that one. And that wraps up this episode of the Beaver Dam. We thank you for listening and encourage you to come back and listen to us on Monday. Check out previous podcasts. Search and subscribe on iTunes or Google Play. The WIT 961 podcast at Bluffton University. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at the Beaver Dam 961. For more stories and information, check out our website, blufftonwit.com, and subscribe. This has been James Hudson, joined along with Floyd Krajovic, and we thank you for listening to 96.1 The WIT.
Roll Beavs.